Hey, everybody. Welcome to Story Nerds. I'm Hannah Davis.
I'm Jessica Cade, and today we have a person who I think is one of the podcast's favorite recurring guests. We have book blogger Carrie Booth Schmidt. Welcome, Carrie.
Hello, it's always such a treat to be with you guys.
And,
well, thank you.
It is always a treat to have you, Carrie, and we have some good news about that continuing into the future. So this is our episode about looking back at 2019 and the books we love best in it, and we're going to do a quick little lightning round about best of the decade because we are at a significant milestone here at the end of 2019. But looking forward to 2020, before we got into the real meat of the episode, we wanted to tell you guys our exciting announcement about the future of Story Nerds. We will be becoming, in 2020, the official podcast of Carrie's blog, Reading is My Superpower.
Yay! You called the fanfare. Woo-hoo! I'm super excited to join up with you guys and use this as a joint effort to just keep talking about stories that we love and the people who create them and the people who love them. So it's going to be an awesome fit.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We are so excited to be joining up with Carrie. Every time we've had her on the podcast, we have thought to ourselves, like, man, we are just like, both things are just about nerding out about stories so much. And Carrie has built such an amazing community over at Reading is My Superpower. Like, really, it's the go-to spot for, especially if you read Christian fiction, but even just romantic fiction. It's got such a fan base and people who connect with each other. So we're just so excited to be able to join in.
Well, I'm thrilled to have you guys. I love what you're doing and what you've done and what you're looking ahead at doing. And I'm just super excited to be a part of it. So thank you.
Yay. That leads us perfect. We're going to talk a little bit more about that later. But today we're going to be talking about our favorite books of 2019.
Yes, we are.
Yes.
Would you like to kick us off, Carrie?
No, because I'm still trying to eliminate a few. Okay, I will. I'll start out with one. All right, and then we can.
Can I
go
say that
somewhere else?
We started talking about this topic like 3 or 4 weeks ago. Yeah, the elimination process has been going for the full 4 weeks,
yes,
until the last second.
And continuing. Well, see, you didn't tell me how many I had to narrow it down to, so now I'm doing some narrowing on the fly here. So one of my absolute top reads of 2019, if not the top read, is How the Light Gets In by Jelena Petersheim.
Oh, I've seen so much about that book. Tell me about it.
Ugly cried into my pillow for like the whole last half of the book and trying not to wake my husband up. And then when I finished the book, I almost did wake him up because I had to talk to somebody about it to process the whole book. So I can't really tell you a whole lot about it because it'll give it all away. So I have to be kind of quiet about it. But yes, so it's about a woman whose husband and father-in-law are killed overseas. They work for a relief organization. They were doctors. And she moves back to Wisconsin to the Mennonite community that her husband grew up in with her young daughters and her mother-in-law, who is also now a widow. And in the process, she sort of comes to a lot of conclusions about her marriage, some more awareness about herself, her desires, her dreams, and maybe possibly begins to fall in love again. And then that's all I can talk about.
Okay.
That's all you can say.
But it is one of the most emotional books. It will take you through every range of emotion. It will make you cry. It will make you laugh. It will make you swoon. It will make you smile. And it will make you angry. And at the end, you just sit there and you're just processing how beautifully written it is over everything else. And then you'll be thinking about it for a very long time. I'm still thinking about it. And I read it early in the year. So it made the cut out of all the other books I read this year. It was one of the first I read in 2019, and it makes the cut all the way
Wow.
All the way to the last.
Yeah.
It held strong all year. And it also has one of the most beautiful covers that I think I've seen this year. I really love that cover.
Pretty. With those little girls looking out the window. And yeah, it's just such a darling, beautiful cover. Yeah. Okay, someone else while I cut down some more.
Go, Jess, go.
Okay, so my number one for 2019 is a general market romance called The Flatshare. So the front cover says, Tiffy and Leon share a bed. Tiffy and Leon have never met. So the premise for this novel, which I borrowed from the library thinking, okay, this looks like a rom-com, and it is, but it's a rom-com with more depth than I really ever remember reading in one, and I really enjoyed it. It is, the premise is pretty simple. It surprised you, and you don't even see it sort of so much from the blurb. So I'll just read the blurb out to you. Tiffy Moore needs a cheap flat and fast. Leon Toomey works nights and needs cash. Their friends think they're crazy, but it's a perfect solution. Leon occupies the one-bed flat while Tiffy's at work in the day, and she has the run of the place the rest of the time. But with obsessive ex-boyfriends, demanding clients at work, wrongly imprisoned brothers, and of course the fact that they still haven't met yet, they're about to discover that if you want the perfect home, you need to throw the rule book out the window. So, it's intriguing. And then you start to read it, and it's written in first person from both their points of view, so alternate chapters. The first chapter is Tiffy, the second one's Leon. And Leon is a very quiet, practical person, and his writing style is quite unique. Like, he writes without using any pronouns. It's all kind of like he's jotting down short notes for himself in his own journal. That's kind of how he's done it. So,
interesting. And I have to check that out.
It's really good. It's unexpectedly deep with Tiffy is dealing with a breakup at the time. She's just broken up with her long-term boyfriend. And the further away she gets from the relationship, I won't say too much about it, but the more she realizes things and even remembers things that she hadn't realized or remembered about it before. And it really takes some depth in there, but without getting, it stays light and funny the whole time, but it's got some really great stuff in it about that. And then on Leon's side, he has a brother who's been wrongly jailed, and that is really a storyline that just like keeps you going through the whole book about his dealings with his brother, how is the court case going, the way Tiffy interacts with that. And for at least a good chunk of the book, Tiffy and Leon don't meet. They both live in the flat and they leave each other sticky notes because they have to communicate somehow about their situation. And so they communicate by these sticky notes they leave around the house, and just reading these note conversations between them is both funny and super sweet, and it's amazing. It's a really great book. And, we're all writers and readers. We love... Yeah. Notes, especially well-crafted, witty, sweet notes. Yes.
So true.
All the better,
this book is full of them. So it's amazing. And I have to read you the first line. It's from Tiffy's point of view, and it says, "You've got to say this for desperation. It makes you much more open-minded." Even the next paragraph. "I can really see some positives in this flat. The technicolor mold on the kitchen wall will scrub off, at least in the short term, and the filthy matches can be replaced fairly cheaply. And you could definitely make the argument that the mushrooms growing behind the toilet are introducing a fresh outdoorsy feel to the place."
That's so perfect.
That's her looking at her only other option for accommodation other than doing this arrangement with Leon. So you can see why she agrees to it. And yeah, it's delightful. It's delightful all the way through, and you finish it and you feel like you're a better person for having read that book.
Oh, that is
That's the best kind of book.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That is the best kind of book. Those are for sure the best kind of books.
Mm-hmm. It was awesome.
Can I just say, my number one, I'm just going to mention, I'm not going to talk a ton about it because, well, you'll get why, but for sure it needs to be Jess's Love and Other Mistakes. I know she is probably, this is why we're going to go by it fast, because it seems like it's so self-explanatory. in what's the self-aggrandizing, except for I'm not the person who's doing it, but
it's, you're not the person, so go ahead.
I'll go really, really fast, and then because I'm going to go really fast, I feel like I get at least one more out of that. So.
You do.
But essentially, Natalie and has to team up and basically take care of her ex-fiance's baby, and it is so packed full of emotion that it really is. It's so very good. So we're going to move on really quickly because you guys have to pick that up. We're going to move on really quick. I really, really, really want to mention Robin Jones Gunn Becoming Us. This is one that kind of surprised me at first. It took a little while to get into. I just wasn't used to the pace, and I'm like, for somebody who reads a lot of suspense and very dramatic filled books, it kind of felt just lighter. But I think at the exact, I just needed that. I needed the light, the lightness of the journey. And she writes this beautiful epic story about a new person who has just moved to a new area, trying to make friends, and she kind of ends up making these friends, and her husband are trying to figure out, do we stay in this new area because of finances, or do we move back where it's safe and we know our family will provide for us, or provide, you know, God has financial provisions back home. And it's kind of a very quiet tale of trusting in God's faithfulness. And that was something that I can't tell you how much I needed and how much our family is needed. I know my mom read it right after I read it, and it made us weep at times. It was just, it's unexpectedly very deep, but also very kind of a light read. And it was just the perfect book I needed at that moment.
That's an intriguing combination. I like that. That's hard to achieve.
It is. It's very hard to achieve it, you know, and especially with characters, you know, who aren't, it's not like they're like, well, we need to get this done. The plot is a lot more open-ended. So there's not like this one thing, but mm-hmm. it's sort of this series of like trusting in God's faithfulness and watching how relationships develop. And it just is the most beautiful story that I needed. And so that was just absolutely well done.
Because Robin really writes a lot more like a TV show, doesn't she? Like, most books are like a movie. They have a goal. By the end of it, they'll have the goal or they don't. But a TV show is just like different chunks of someone's life. And she has written from she the Christie of, series yeah. as teens yeah. now yeah. up to the young mother stage.
I wasn't sure where you were going with that. But yeah. yeah, no, it was very much so like that. Very, but because this was it's the beginning of her new series, it was, the setup was a little bit different because you see Christy, but we're meeting a new character, but it just was exceptionally well done. And I think the thing that got me is the fact that I have thought about that book time and time again since I read it and finished it. And it, just the fictional story of God's provision and God's faithfulness, even in the small ways, throughout her journey, I can't tell you how much that has helped me this year. So well done.
Aww, that's awesome.
Carrie, I want to hear your next one.
So, okay. So my next one is A Dream of Death. It's the first book in a traditional British mystery series. It's General Market, although the author happens to be a Christian, but the book is not Christian fiction, although it's clean. It takes place on a remote Scottish island, and it deals with an American antiques dealer whose name is Kate Hamilton. And she's returning home. Well, she's American, but her husband was Scottish and lived on this island. And she promised him she would return for a variety of reasons. And she is returning to this Hebridean resort community in Scotland. And she's trying to kind of wrestle with her own past and then ends up having to investigate a murder, because of course she does, staged to recreate a 200-year-old unsolved murder. So I loved the combination of cultures, because you've got this Scottish village, you know, Scottish island, and then you've got this American antiques dealer whose husband was Scottish, but who died tragically a while ago. She's like early 40s, I think, so very young, because that's how old I am. And she also has this yummy detective who's British who's staying at the inn as well. So, you know, they get to know each other, and there's a little bit of romance. But the writing is just so gorgeous. And it just, it's one of those books that you just want to cozy up with, you know, and, you know, a nice cup of hot beverage, you know, hot chocolate or cider or tea, whatever you like to drink, and a quilt and a fire. I mean, that's where you want to read this, this book. Like, one of the first lines is, "On the Isle of Glenroth, memories and regrets lay as thick on the ground as yellow gorse in autumn." And like, the whole book is like that. So you just get so, you know, enraptured with the story and the mystery, and there's kind of a past and present element to it. And I just really, really like the main character too. And the follow-up novel, which just came out a month or so ago, A Legacy of Murder, is just as good. So I'm excited. It's a brand new author. The first one was her debut, and I was like, wow, if, you know, for a debut novel.
Now tell me, does the romance thread?
It's very light.
Yeah, it's light. Does it continue through them all though? Because I can do it with it light if it's like if it's like a long slow burn. Ooh,
yeah, it is. Yeah.
Nice.
It ramps up a little bit more in the second book. So,
yeah. Ooh.
And then the third, she sounds set good. The stage for the third book, and it sounds very promising. So,
yeah. I have to admit, I really appreciate your choice word of yummy previously as well. That was just one of my favorite words you've said in coordination with what you said it with.
Well, he is.
Let's be honest.
Yummy,
we can
British detective.
Yes.
Look, who doesn't love a yummy British detective? Like, we could all do with more of that in our lives.
Hello. Especially sounds great. In Scotland, right?
Yeah, I think I like the she's American but in a Scottish setting. Like, that sounds like fun to me. That would be good.
And she's an antique dealer, so you've got this, you know, rich kind of mm-hmm. It's just all very atmospheric, and you know, she brings out the details of the antiques and things too. So it's just really fun. Just a really, really great series. So
that sounds awesome.
I highly recommend it. Yes.
Oh, yes.
Do I get to mention my honorable mention now?
Or you do.
Go for it now.
So this one is sort of a wild card one. And it's called Where I Was Planted by Heather Norman Smith. It's historical fiction in the 1960s set in the Smoky Mountains, Appalachia area. And it's the narrative voice in the book. It's first person from the 10-year-old boy. And it is such an endearing narrative voice. I fell in love with that character and this story from word one all the way to the end. So I've been pushing it at people all year. And it's by a really small press, Ambassador International. But it is just a high quality written book. And I can't recommend it enough. Just so endearing. So that's my honorable mention.
Okay. You've got me intrigued. I literally googled that right as you were saying it, because I'm like, I had never heard of that before, and so now I'm literally looking it up. Like, ooh, that sounds really good. Add that to my list.
It's amazing.
Woo.
Yes.
All right, Jess.
My second book is Waiting for Tom Hanks by Harry Winfrey. This was a
read that one so bad.
It should be your Christmas holiday, like, treat to yourself read, because that's the kind of thing. This book is just like, it's like treating yourself to some chocolate. It's fun. It's entertaining. It's all the rom-com references and twists and sort of, it's about, well, look, I'll read you the blurb and it'll explain it better than I can. So, can a rom-com obsessed romantic finally experience the meet-cute she's always dreamed of, or will reality never compare to fiction? Annie Cassidy dreams of being the next Nora Ephron. She spends her days writing screenplays, rewatching Sleepless in Seattle, and waiting for her movie-perfect meet-cute. If she could just find her own Tom Hanks, a man who's sweet, sensitive, and possibly owns a houseboat, her problems would disappear and her life would be perfect. But Tom Hanks is nowhere in sight. When a movie starts filming in her neighborhood and Annie gets a job on set, it seems like a sign. Then Annie meets the lead actor, Drew Danforth, a cocky prankster who couldn't be less like Tom Hanks if he tried. Their meet cute is more of a meet fail, but soon Annie finds herself sharing some classic rom-com moments with Drew. Her Tom Hanks can't be an actor who's leaving town in a matter of days. Can he?
Mm-hmm.
So, full rom-com stuff.
I have to say that I remember when this was discovered, it was shortly after Bethany Turner's recent book came out, which I'm like so blanking on the name right now. Somebody help me. Somebody help me.
Will and Katie.
Yes. Kathy. Thank you. I was like, of course, because I always called her Catty because of Mean Girls. But I remember this coming out and I was like, I need to read that book. And then I had 700 others and I never did. So I'm glad that you mentioned that because I'm adding to my list already. Shoot. I already have so many books, but that's okay. I just have to read more over Christmas.
Yes. No, this one is fun. It's great because Annie, she loves rom-coms. She dreams of being in one, and but she doesn't like Drew because he doesn't fit her Tom Hanks picture in her head. And the houseboat thing is funny because it's something she literally asks guys that she's on dates with, do you happen to own a houseboat? And then she, and her best friend works in this cafe that she's always like in, and she goes up and the date hasn't gone so well. And the first thing her best friend says is, did you ask the houseboat question again? That made me laugh. They've got some recurring jokes like that in it. But, yeah, so her life literally starts to mirror. It starts hitting all the beats of a rom-com. They have the meet cute. They have the significant moments that happen in most rom-com relationships. But she's fighting it so hard because this guy drives her crazy. She doesn't like what he's about, blah blah. But thankfully you also get Drew's point of view and you know that not everything is as it seems. And he might have a little more in common with Tom Hanks than you think he does. So it's good. And her best friend has quite a sense of humor, the banter. Her best friend works at this cafe and the cafe owner is there, and those two really 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 remind me of Luke and Lorelai out of Gilmore Girls. I read their dialogue and their banter and it was like it had been lifted from an episode. I was like, this chick, like, is she someone who, you know how, like, you know, TV writers are able to mimic people's voices because they have to work for different shows. Like, it was like she was one of those people. It was just, the guy was so grumpy Luke, but secretly he liked her, and she was always changing the music to the music he hated, and he'd threaten to fire her, and she'd roll her eyes and do it anyway. They were a real highlight. That banter was a real highlight for me of the book. It was like, I don't know, sometimes subplots are my favorite even more than the main one, and that's probably one of them for me. So yes, it is a general market rom-com waiting for Tom Hanks. Fun and funny.
Definitely worth it. Okay, well, I'm going to wrap up with my last one so we can wrap up with 2019. I read The Killing Tide this year by Danny Petrie, and I was not disappointed. Danny has been a pretty steady stream in the Christian romantic suspense market right these days, and she definitely delivered on her newest series, the debut of her new series. So this one is about... I'll just quick read the blurb. When one Coast Guard officer is found dead, another goes missing. Coast Guard Investigative Service Special Agent Finn Walker, who is, to use Carrie's word, yummy, faces his most dangerous crime yet. His only clues are what little evidence remains aboard the dead officer's boat and the direction the clues point to will test Finn and the guard to their limits. And let me just say, that right there is enough of a story that it was so, so good and it was so well plotted. Then you add in the romance of this, which just makes me so happy. When investigative reporter and Finn's boss's sister, Gabby Rowley, arrives, her unrelenting questions complicate an already volatile situation. Now that she's back, the tug on Finn's heart is strong, but with the risks she's taking for her next big story, he fears she might not live through it. And there are so many moments, you guys, in this book that I'm like, heart pounding, couldn't put it down. The sad part is that I had a schedule this fall when I started reading it, that my world was a little bit thrown into chaos. So I had to read this in chunks. But let me tell you that I would have sat down to read it in one long stretch if I could have. So... there was a really, really lovely moment, and by lovely I mean gulp yummy, between Finn and Gabby, and you're just like, and then the brother bursts in, and it's so great. I think what's really fun is that she tends to write a really well-written suspense. It just has all of the key elements I'm looking for, a really good plot, a really good, you know, feasibilities and plot scenarios, really well-researched. And of course the steamy moments between Finn and Gabby, that was huge. But I also appreciate that they actually go through that they had been together before in some way. And you kind of have to go through and see. They have a history. So you get to see how they get to deal with their history and some of her choices and his choices. And the only thing that I just have to quick say this. I am not technically an investigative reporter. I am a reporter for a local community newspaper. And though I do some investigative work, my job as a whole is not an investigative reporter. However, I'm curious to know how much she's getting paid, because there were some moments where I'm like, I feel like she gets paid way more than most investigative journalists do. And can I have that job? Because I but that was just the one moment. It was towards the beginning, and I'm just like, I'm in a scenario like nothing like that. So but it really was very well researched. As a scuba, somebody who has their scuba license, there are some scuba diving moments in there, and that was also very well researched. So I don't know if Danny has her scuba license. Maybe she does, maybe she doesn't, but that was very well researched, and so very, very good job. I appreciate it. We're going to wrap up 2019, and we are literally running so far out of time, guys, that I'm going to make our best of the decade speed lightning round. It's got to be really quick. So, Carrie, best of the decade, go.
Okay. The Lady in the Lionheart, Joanne Bichat.
Yes.
Just the way you are.
Oh, yes.
Yes, right? Just the way you are, Pepper Basham.
Oh, and Peppers, too? Yes, okay.
Yes. One more?
Sure, one more.
The Memoir of Johnny Devine by Camille Eide.
Ooh, that's one I haven't read.
I haven't heard of that one.
Okay. All right, Jess, what about you?
Okay, so we all know my favorite book of the decade is The Hating
Game.
That is no secret. I'm going to use my 30 seconds to read out one of my favorite descriptions in it that always makes me laugh. If you haven't read The Hating Game or heard of it, it is basically about two colleagues who hate each other, and then there's a promotion up for grabs that they are both competing for, and then everything changes when the guy, Josh, surprises Lucy by kissing her in the elevator, and everything changes. So one of the descriptions in this is on the morning when they are going to do a team building paintball day. They both work at a publishing house, and Josh always wears his shirts in order of color. There's like 7 shirts that he has, and he always wears them in the same order, and it runs for two, it's a 2-week cycle, and she always notices this, and she always comments on like what color shirt is today, and her favorite one is Payday Friday Black. So this one starts off with, today is a magnificent black t-shirt day. Write today in your diaries, tell your grandchildren about it. I tear my eyes away, but they slide back moments later. Underneath that t-shirt is a body that could fog an elderly librarian's glasses. That makes me laugh every time. Just the mental image of that really old crusty librarian lady and her glasses just like slowly heating up. It just cracks me up. So there we go. Thanks for making me laugh many times this decade. Sally Thorne and The Hating Game.
That, I mean, there's no surprise there.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to quick say Susan May Warren. No surprise that I love Susan May Warren's work, but I still cannot get over It Had to Be You, which is the second in her Christensen family series. It's about Eden Christensen, who is a journalist, I will say that with a question mark, because you'll kind of understand in the story about why that I'm saying that in that way. But I think I just loved it so much because I saw so much of myself in this character and her story. And if it also includes a hockey star who is, you know, gulp, that's, you know. Yummy. How many times can we use yummy in this context? It's so much fun.
I can come up with a few more if you want me.
A lot.
I know. A lot. But I have to say that that is tied with, I'm just going to kind of collectively put all of these together, Melissa Tagg's Christmas novella collection. Get the whole collection. It's not that much. Yeah. And you can read it and there's Christmas time. It'll be perfect. And it literally, it was one of my favorite things to look forward to when I knew it was coming out, usually right before Christmas, sometime around in November. And it was like those 3 years running. And then this year, she actually is also doing another Christmas novella. I have not read that yet. It's called Royally Yours. And she is in a collection with Liz Johnson and Ashley Clark, who are also two other, well, Liz Johnson is a fantastic author. Ashley Clark, I have not read yet because this is her debut. Also, she just signed a new contract with Bethany House. Congratulations, Ashley.
She did.
Yes.
Betsy St. Amant.
And Betsy St. Amant is in the collection as well. Exactly. So I'm excited to read that one. It's been on my list and just have not been able to get to it yet. But between the two of them, I'd say that those two are my favorites of 2019. Of the decade. I have so many more. We all have so many more, but it's, you know, time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for joining us on this amazing episode. We hope that you'll take some of those suggestions and give them a read if you haven't yet. I'm excited for 2020. I know Carrie's excited for 2020. She's currently getting her list ready and she will have content prepped for the upcoming year. So we're super excited about that.
Oh, yes. And hopefully I'll get to read them. Somewhere I'll find time to read them. I will.
Thank you for joining us today, Carrie. We're so glad that you were able to come and talk about this. Please join us on Facebook for sure, where we can discuss a little bit more about what you guys loved for 2019. Make sure to tag us in your posts. If you add Story Nerds to your Instagram, make sure that you tag Story Nerd or one of us, or just hashtag Story Nerds. And then we want to hear what you guys have read in 2019 that you want to recommend to other people.
Yes. And if you could rate us on iTunes or your Apple Podcasts app, we would really appreciate it. That really helps other people to find us, and then we can add new Story Nerds to our community. And you can find our personal pages. I am at Jessica Kate Writing on both Facebook and Instagram. And Hannah, you are at?
Hannah Davis Author.
Hannah Davis Author. I'm glad you said it because I was going to say Hannah Davis Writes. Hannah Davis Author, that's where she's at. If you like the sound of Love and Other Mistakes or my upcoming novel, A Girl's Guide to the Outback, you can pre-order A Girl's Guide to the Outback. It's coming out in January, and Love and Other Mistakes is out now. And you can listen to us. We've heard from some of our listeners that they click our links and listen to us on the website, but they would like to know how they can listen to us more conveniently. So if you have a podcasting app, if you have an iPhone, there should be a podcasting app on there automatically. You can find us on that. If you have an Android, then you can find us on Spotify. You can download the Stitcher app. There's a lot of podcasting apps. We should be on pretty much all of them. You can find our show and you can listen there, and then it's a super easy way. Or you can find us at storynerds.podbean.com. So thank you so much for joining us in 2019, everybody.
Really quick before we go, though, guys, I have been absent. I'm sorry that I've been absent the last couple of months. I've had some unfortunate family emergencies that have had to take over some of my time. But I really just want to take this moment really quick before we end. Jess doesn't know I'm doing this. She needs a huge round of applause because she has basically taken over everything pretty much since October, and that is a lot of work. So I just want to publicly thank her and say thank you for taking over for me as I've been dealing with just family scenarios and other emergency scenarios, and so she deserves a huge round of applause. Also, thank you to our wonderful guests who were like pretty much the best co-hosts ever to step in. So Rachel McDaniel and Janine Roche, they are all amazing. So thank you guys for stepping in as co-hosts / guests. So thank you so much for joining us, guys, and keep in touch on our Facebook and on Instagram. You can find us, and we will chat with you guys later.
See you later, everybody.
Bye.